I know that my brother is prepared, because I know him. And so I would like to give you the speaker of the hour, our brother Jay Moser.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here. I do have something upon my mind. And feel the Spirit with me and hope that the Lord will be able to relay to you a message. I hope it's a simple message. I'm going to take a reading this evening, a textual reading, for which I'm going to base my thoughts upon the book of Genesis chapter 12. And I want to read verses 6 through 8. This was just after the Lord called out to Abraham, gave him a great and wonderful promise. But this is the story, beginning with verse 6 through 8. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And a Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and High on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Here we have this man, Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham. And I want to try and paint a picture for you of his life. He was now, of course, a man of 75 some years old, I believe. His father was dead. It is said of his father was an idol worshiper by Jewish history, if they're correct. I think we can rely a lot upon Jewish history of their beliefs as to what they were. But he was a man that worshiped the sun and the moon. He was a pagan. And so was Abraham, I believe. But here, it says first, of course, in the story before this, that they traveled from Ur of the Chaldees, which, to our best knowledge, is down in the southern part below Babylon, where the Iraqi train station is today. That's what the archaeologists say. They believe that's where it is, where there's a train station down there, and where our soldiers are at this moment. But they traveled up, and they had to go a long way up the river Euphrates and along various river valleys to get to another place called Haran. And there they were for a time, and Abram's father died. And the Lord called him out of there with his family, his house, and told him to go, and he went south into the land of Canaan. And so he arrives in this land, a land filled with pagans, and he builds an altar. If the customs are correct, if our understanding of the time is correct, and if they carried the same custom on, it was carried over and also followed in the law of Moses, where Moses was commanded, if you build an altar unto me, it's going to be of just stones. You can't put a knife to it, a chisel to it, anything, just a stone. You take a stone and we want you to set these stones up and you make an altar. And until they had Solomon's temple or until they had the tabernacle, prior to that, of course, they built a special altar and made it and cut it. And it was just one altar at the time. But anywhere they went an altar, they built it. And they were not to cut any stones, not to lay, not to mark them up. They were just to put them there. And apparently the custom of the time, an altar was about 5 feet tall. You know, about sort of eye level, you know, right there where most people could see. Most adults could see on top of what was on that altar. So here he is in this land by his tent in a foreign place. And there are obviously around him the tribes of men, the Canaanites around him. Looking at this band of people that have come down, nomadic people with their tents. And here this man gets this big pile of stones. And they're watching him without doubt. There he makes an altar and obviously must have sacrificed upon that altar. So here is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Abraham, it was up to him. And that's the point, I guess. It was up to him to build this altar. It was up to Abraham to do this. And it says here that, you know, he built this one altar, and then immediately afterwards, or sometime very soon afterwards, in the next verse, he traveled to another place near Bethel, which means the house of God. And there he built another altar, signifying to us that wherever he went, Abraham built an altar. There was a man who was now building an altar to Jehovah, to the God that had called him out of paganism, called him out of the world. And wherever he went, he built an altar. And that is my message to you. That in life, you know, we are Abraham's children. I want to go through some scriptures here in a little bit that show us this. We are Abraham's children, heirs of the promise according to the adoption. And we must, wherever we go in this world, take our altar with us. It's something different. It wasn't like the other altars of the day. In the pagan world, they were hewn out and they were cut and they were beautiful, made all kinds of idols and figurines and things, but not this. Here was just this stack of rocks. But if I thought about this last night, you know, I really would like to, if I had a bunch of rocks, I'd have gone out here in the churchyard and stacked up a bunch of rocks in the yard, and I'll bet everyone here would have heard about it or known about it. You just seen it. It's remarkable. You go out in the middle of the desert and you find a stack of rocks, and it draws your eye because it's not a natural stack, is it? You know, you see there, sometimes only three rocks, just three rocks, one on top of the other, and you see it. You see it. But if there's a stack of 5 feet tall of rocks and probably flat like a mesa, like a table on top, you'd notice it. Everyone would see. And the altar is a place where they worship. It signifies their worship, that wherever you go, Abraham's children must worship God. If by some reason you were placed somewhere else in the world, are you Abraham's child to the extent that you would worship God? If it's up to you, and here's Abraham, he's the head of this family, of this clan, and he has no children at this time. It's all up to him. You imagine all of a sudden one day and there's only one person here. You and your family. What are you going to do? God expects something very special of his children. And you would take that altar wherever you went. Something very special. And here he was, completely up to him. Abraham had to do all this work. He was the one that was called out of the world, but his wife went with him and his nephew Lot and their family. And it says all the souls he had gotten in Haran. I don't really know what that means. I don't know whether it was his servants. I don't know whether he told them, the Lord has called me, Jehovah, the true one God has called me, and invited other people to go with him. I don't know. It doesn't really tell me. I don't understand that exactly. But they all went down, and they went with him. And there he was, but it was up to him. If he didn't do it, no one was going to do it. And that's what God expects you to be like when it comes to worshiping him. He expects you to take it personally. It's your responsibility to build this altar. It's your responsibility. And so importantly, these stones, you can't change them. You can't make them appear the way you want them to appear. You just stack them there the way that the Lord wants them to appear, the way He made them to start with. Let's go to the book of Galatians and read in Chapter 3 of the book of Galatians. I want to read verse 6 through 8 first. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. This phrase here, it says in the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. See, Abraham was the type of that. He was a heathen man. He was a man who was like his father. Obviously, he probably worshipped those idols that his father worshipped. But God called him at that moment, and he called him, and Abraham turned. And he changed, and he believed what the Lord told him, and he believed in the promise that was given to him. And preached to him the gospel, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed, through Christ, through the gospel, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ when he came here upon the earth. Let's read verses 26 to 29 of this same chapter. For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus have put on Christ, and there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Abraham's children. And how many times in history have people felt just like that? That wherever they were, it was up to them. It's up to them to bring the worship of Christ there in some way. You know, this was something that everyone saw around them. They saw these stones. They saw what he was doing there. They probably saw him sacrifice the animal upon that stone. It was probably out in the open, and these other people saw them. In your life, do people see the acts of Christ and the good deeds? And can they see Christ in your life wherever you go? Do they see Him in your work? Do your family, do they see Him? Do they feel His presence in your life? Do people, it may be the only kind of thing that they see. Those people that were up on the hills or around about, other shepherds or whoever they were, they may not have really had much understanding what was going on, except they could see that something was happening. Maybe they were unaccustomed to in that part of the world, but they could see what he was doing. I want to go to the book of Exodus in chapter 20, where we've been studying in Sunday school. And I want to read just a couple of verses there. Verse 25 and 26. And it says this, and if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of a hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. You know, when we, this thing that God wants us to do, this thing that God is asking people to take this responsibility upon them of being Abraham's children and taking his altar wherever they go, wherever they are, you can't change it. You can't touch it. It obviously took some work. It obviously took some time out of his life to gather these stones. It took some thought. I was carrying these bundles of tile in my house, and about, you know, so big, and eight tile in there, and it weighs about 60, 70 pounds per box. You know, if you start carrying stones, you're going to get worn out. It's really takes a lot of energy to do that. But if it depends only upon you, and that's what God asks of those that He calls. That's what He asks of those He calls in the ministry. It is now up to you to raise the altar before men. And you can't change it. You can't alter it. You can't put your tools of any kind upon it. It's the way it is. This is the offering that you must give, an offering of worship upon the altar. On the altar. And that altar remains. It is still there today. And we'll get to that. Another time when Solomon built his temple, the altar got up to 17 feet high. So it was something that could be seen. You could see what was on the altar. God meant for it to be seen. He meant the worship of Him in honesty and truth and righteousness to be seen. The Scriptures refer to it, the altars, in several places. There are adjectives and there are verbs that are applied to it. It was established. It was set up. It was placed. It was arranged. It was healed. It was renewed. It was purified. All these things. And it took work. It took action upon the part of God's children. But in every case, it was always the altar of the Lord. Now, there are times when they referred to altars, plural, but they were generally the altars of the heathen. The Lord promised to tear them down, every one of them, to tear them all down. But it was always the altar of the Lord. Let's go back into the book of Genesis and read how this idea continued as they began this new worship, as God called Abraham and his children. Here we find Abraham in the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. Verse 18, it says in verse 18, "Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord." Wherever you go, if for some reason everyone here leaves Phoenix, you've got to keep this altar erected. If for some reason you're taken someplace else in some other part of the world, there's nowhere, no place that you can escape where you're not supposed to put up the altar of God and to worship Him and to make sacrifice of worship before Him every day. Genesis 22. "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Upon this altar of worship, God expects us to be willing to give everything. Last night I had a little discussion with one of our brothers and how important it is, you know, for everyone, the people, for Abraham's children, you know, to be willing to do whatever is necessary. What is necessary to be done that the worship of God would continue? What is necessary? Whatever it might be, whether it be the cleaning of the church, whether it be squeezing the apples, whatever it is, whether it be preaching or studying, whether it be doing without sleep, whatever it is, there are times, there are efforts that must be made, and it doesn't matter. The altar must be raised. It must be kept renewed every day, whatever it is. You can't walk away. You go on a vacation, you've got to take it with you. And set it up. And others should be able to see something in you that reflects your worship. Genesis 26. Chapter 26, verse 23 to 25. Talking about Isaac. "And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father, fear not. For I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." Wherever they go, they build an altar. Wherever they go, they worship God and they offer their sacrifices of worship when they call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 33, Verse 18. To 20. Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. And when he came from Padar Aram, and pitched his tent before the city, and he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the head of the children of Hamar, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. And so you find that all the patriarchs did this. They built altars wherever they went unto the Lord, their God. And we are the children of these people. They're legal heirs according to the Gospels. Chapter 35 of Genesis, verses 1 to 3. And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. He knew that to go before God, it was necessary to put away your baggage, to put away your strange gods, your strange beliefs, the things that offend God, and to go to the Lord, to go to worship Him before that altar, you had to put these things away. And God will hear us. Put them away and come and be sanctified by the altar. Put them far away. You know, this is the kind of thing they did it in the Book of Mormon in Old Testament times. We read in 1 Nephi chapter 1. Verse 33 and verse 34, page 5. And it came to pass that when he had traveled 3 days in the wilderness, he pitched his tent in a valley beside a river of water. And it came to pass that he built an altar of stones. And he made an offering unto the Lord and gave thanks unto the Lord our God. So here's the kind of person that God had chosen and called out of Jerusalem to build a nation. And the kind of person that he had called out of Ur to build a nation, to build a church, to build a people, someone that he knew wherever they went, they're going to worship him. They're going to take him with them. And to be worthy of his presence, to be worthy of his power, to be worthy of his blessings, we must take him and our practice of worship wherever we go, whatever we're doing in life, we've got to take him with us. Alma, chapter 10, verse 109. Page 358. And began to assemble themselves together at their sanctuaries to worship before the altar, watching and praying continually that they might be delivered from Satan and from death and from destruction. They had altars back in those days. It was part of worship. Going to the altar was part of worship. There was a central point of their focus was at the altar of God. Alma chapter 12, verse 7. Yea, by the power of their words, many were brought before the altar of God to call on His name and confess their sins before Him. By the power of those who were preaching, by the power and their conviction and their service to God, people were brought before the altar of God to worship Him and to confess their sins. You know, this thing remained. It remained even into the New Testament times. If you go to the book of Matthew, you find it here. And this is the one that's most interesting, one of the most interesting ones about this. And it's one of our brothers mentioned this today, but he didn't talk about the altar. He was talking about something else. In chapter 5 of Matthew, this is a very important thing. Verse 23 and verse 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You know, you can't find sanctification before the altar of God when you have things in your heart. I'm thankful I'm living in a time in the history of the church when people are beginning to question everything which they do. They're beginning to question how we've acted in times past, beginning to question how we've reacted to whatever, this or that, all kinds of things. And we always need to be questioning how we've reacted to one another, to our families, to the world, to people in the world, to anyone. But especially, it says here, to your brother. You know, this is not the same in the Book of Mormon. It doesn't say altar in the Book of Mormon, because the altar was done away. It still exists, but it was really done away. In 3 Nephi chapter 5, verse 71 and 72, no longer says altar. On page 637. And therefore, if ye shall come unto me, or shall desire to come unto me, and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. The altar is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is something that you can take anywhere and you can't change Him, just like those stones. They were just told to put them there. And don't put a knife to them, don't put a chisel to them, that's the way they are. And you come to Jesus Christ, and there are certain rules about coming to Him. And this is one of them. Remembering the problems of others, the oughts of others. And further on in Matthew, you find, you know, if you have ought against your brother, you're supposed to do the same thing. You're supposed to go and correct it before you can come to the altar. The central focus point of all of our worship is the altar. It always was. It always was, from the call of Abraham to this very day. The altar of Jesus Christ. I want to go to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 10. Well, I want to go to chapter 13, because I think it's a better one. Chapter 13, and I want to begin with verse 8 of chapter 13 of Hebrews. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. I was talking about the people who were offering meat still at that point, the ones who were offering meat on the altar, because Christ had come and fulfilled that part of the law. But he was talking about those who were still doing it. He says, we have an altar, verse 10, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. You know, that old covenant. If they were serving that old covenant, they had no right to eat of it. But we have an altar, and it's Jesus Christ. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp and bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God still requires us to go to him and to go to his Son. Now, the altar is Christ. Christ is the altar. We have to have the same mind. And that really brings me back to this concept that I so want that my children, that I so want every young person, that I want them to grasp this concept of if it's up to you, the responsibility is yours to carry the altar of God wherever you go, to worship Him, and that people would see. If you're in the middle of heathens, and this applies to people, you know, I'm sure that he felt pretty alone in many respects as he was in this land. He was wandering. It says here, you know, we're still looking for the city. We're still looking for the city to come. We're still looking for the promise of God and the total fulfillment of the New Jerusalem to come upon the earth. And he was looking for something. And he wandered all those years looking for it, but he carried that. And it's something that doesn't matter how hard it is. It doesn't matter what obstacles come in our way. And every one of those obstacles, those patriarchs were required to worship God. They were required to take their altar. They were required to do their service before God and to carry. And so again, I ask you, if it was up to you, would you be the kind of person, if you were taken and for some reason you had to move to Prescott, is there going to be an altar erected for the service of God in some other place? Or is it just when you're going to church, you have that sense, I'm going to lift up, I'm going to worship at the altar of God. And wherever I go, whether it's here or whether it's in Missouri or wherever I go, I will worship God no matter what. If it's up to me, I'm going to carry the stones. If it's up to me, I'm going to take care of the church. If it's up to me, I'm going to build the church. If it's up to me, I'm going to make sure it's done. That is the true spirit of this man, Abraham. Who, as he was wandering through life, was wandering for one purpose, to serve his God, because he was called out of paganism. And that's what we're called out of. We're called out of this world to serve Him and to worship Him and that others might see how we worship. Well, I hope maybe you've gained something by what I've said, and I hope the Lord will bless you wherever you go.
Let's not forget the announcements for the remainder of the week. And we will close with hymn number 235. 235. When you find your places, we please rise. If you bow your heads with me with the closing prayer. Dear and Father, as we come to the close of our services this day, thank you, Lord, for your Spirit has been with us. Thank you for the messages that we have heard this day in testimony and in preaching. Father, I pray that you will be with those young men that were spoken to this day, guide and direct their thoughts, touch their heart, and make your will well known to them. Guide and direct their footsteps, I pray. Be with us throughout the remainder of this week until we have opportunity to meet again. Strengthen us and keep us safe in the hollow of your hand. May our light forever shine wherever we might be, at work or at home, the store or at play, that your name might be glorified. These things I ask, Lord, and I pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.